There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're live at the Elder Dragon Duel podcast, commonly known as the Saltcast, as you'll see soon. This is your host, Igor, and as always with me is my co-host, Nixia. Say hi, Nixia.
Hello there.
Doing fine?
Kind of.
Being happy and cheery and all that?
Yes, always.
What up, Nixia? How has your week been?
It's been a slow week, not gonna lie. I mean, did some magic stuff, didn't have any fun, but that's all part of the game. You're supposed to not have fun, so the part where you have fun is a lot better.
In our defense, Nixia, you did have fun in the Commander games before the pre-release.
No, I didn't. Oh, those games. Yeah, on the day of the pre-release. Yeah, sure, I did.
Super had fun. You crushed us with your stupid dragons.
Stupid dragons, but...
Yep. You had fun, so don't lie to me. You actually had a good magic
game. I just destroyed the other dragon deck, the Prosh one, so I'm happy about that.
What you're trying to tell me, you asserted your dominance?
Yes.
Or
dragon, best dragon.
Anything else happened to your week that was actually interesting?
Not really. Played the pre-release, nothing happened. You know, the usual. But, you know, we can talk about these kind of things when we get to our Commander of the Week.
Yeah.
But how was your week?
Really long and tiring, but I did have my work evaluation today. Out of 15 possible points, I got 14. So go me, I'll get an extra to my paycheck.
What's an extra to a paycheck?
So we have this thing in our company where you have this quarterly evaluations, and you have like 5 categories, 3 points in each.
Actually, what's a paycheck?
But basically the thing is, if you score high enough, you get extra to your paycheck. Because waiters are being scarce in our country, because a lot of them are moving out to other countries. So our company is doing its best to actually keep the people around.
Well, that's kind of okay.
That's good money.
It's kind of good business practice to keep people, you know, employed.
Oh, they have to. They have to. They're also doing like in August and in December, they're going to give people who are long enough in company like huge amounts of money. Just, you know, loyalty bonuses. So like, okay, I'm fine with that. But that was basically my week. Want to do some commanders of the week?
Sure. Go ahead.
So, for my commander of the week, I'm not sure what to actually go with. What's the name of that dumb scout guy?
The Pilgrim.
I was gonna say Ganos, but I remember he's
Let's just call him Scott Pilgrim.
So, Scott Pilgrim, we opened him in the pre-release kit. By the way, let's talk a minute about my pre-release kit. Thing we opened was, promo was first that guy. That was Tess's promo. My promo, Gravedigger's Cage.
So that's pretty good.
Yes, not for sealed. I was actually... the thing I said was, yeah, this is shit for sealed, but I really like this promo because I'll play it. Because I wanted to have a Gravedigger's Cage. But okay, let's open a couple of boosters to see what we open up. We opened, what's his name? Dracuset, the Maw of Flame. I was like, release. Tess is going to be playing red. That's cool. And then I opened my boosters. It was another Leyline of the Void, the non-promo one.
No, you mean Leyline of Sanctity.
And I mean Gravedigger's Cage, non-promo one.
Okay.
Leyline of the Sanctity, one of the uncommons was Rule of Law. Brought Back was another of the rares. So basically we had a bunch of not actually playable things.
It's like Destiny wants you to play stacks forever.
Yes, which I'm fine with, but Wizards need to give me actual support in, you know, in sealed pools. Tess did open up Shared Summons, so that was a good card. She also opened the Summer's Veil, which is the thing she wanted for Prosh, so that was, like, we opened a bunch of things we wanted to actually open in M20. It didn't help us a lot, you know, in the grand scheme of things. We went 1-3. You defeated us one game. I was going to say crush, but you didn't actually crush us that one game.
Yeah, it wasn't actually us.
No, you did it. It was you. The first game. You defeated us. It just took you like an eternity. Because Tess first started playing three colors because we had excellent elemental support. We had two of those Rising Reefs.
Mm-hmm.
And Tess opened her hand. It was pretty good and it had the dragon in it. No mountains, but you know, we have a bunch of mountains. We're going to draw into it. The game lasted, what, 15, 20 turns, right?
Let's say.
Not a single mountain.
Oh, well. That's the thing with three-color decks. You sometimes just don't draw your third color.
Actually, I was playing five colors. Easy.
Yeah, but you had Scott the Pilgrim who tutored your lands.
I drew Scott Pilgrim in literally two of those games. I had no color problems.
Yeah, but you had a bunch of dual-colored lands.
Five, I think.
See?
No. The thing is, I focused my deck mostly Esper with two extra colors. Tess did the Gruul with like a bit of blue, just to support the reefs. We had less islands than we had mountains. And yet,
yeah.
You know,
yeah,
just luck of the draw. It's a variance. It's fine. We're not actually being like, oh my god, we would have crushed it, because we maybe wouldn't. I'm just saying.
You probably wouldn't, because I still had the murder in my hand.
I think the game would go differently if she had access to red, because she had other red cards in her hand. But variants happened, and you know, I actually had fun playing the Pro. It was a good set. It was just really things didn't line up for us, and that's okay.
About not lining up. So
yep,
our sealed pool, out of all the synergies in the set, like there's a lot of synergistic combinations in the set, especially the elemental synergy. We drew none of them. Like, legit no synergy at all. So we were forced to play good stuff deck, if we even had any good stuff that didn't require any synergy. And the thing is, our first game against you, we were carried by Sorin. Not
yep.
because we had vampires. Our entire pool had two vampires.
No, you had a vampire.
Yeah,
in the game.
At one point we did have a vampire.
And at that point, it didn't actually matter what you had in play.
It didn't matter because all Sorin did was make blocks extremely awkward.
You ended up the game at like 68 71 or 69 life. Yeah, there we go. Just enormous. And it still took you eternity because we had a stupid dinosaur. The 7-6 one. Rotting, whatever his name is.
Yeah.
It was a funny thing. I cast him on turn 3. Immediately, your friend cast Dungeon Geist.
Yep.
I was like, oh, cool. I like this card, but not this. Not like this.
Turns out that one-sided Necrogenic Mist isn't that good, really.
I mean, we still got rid of the thing like in a couple turns. And even if he wasn't tapped, it wouldn't have mattered, but fine. Still.
Yeah, the next game we played, we were absolutely, complete, like, one-sidedly crushed, because the guy had almost legit standard level, standard playable elemental deck.
We played against those guys. They crushed us.
Like, the deck was, like, what? Like, even what?
Like, why me?
And the two games after, we were, like, they were really close games. We almost won. And it was all because, well, not to toot my own horn, but because of our really efficient usage of inefficient cards. Like that Bag of Holding was actually super valuable.
I mean, it seemed fine for Seal.
Because my friend was completely flooded and he started drawing with the Bag of Holding. And he was still super flooded, so yeah, that happens. But yeah, okay, so we were actually kind of okay with our performance, because we had one win and two extremely close games with an abysmal pool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's...
Plus, we finally managed to play against one another at the pre-release, and we've been hitting pre-releases, Tess and I, for like a year and something, I think. And you have been doing the same, and this is the first time we actually managed to meet. And it was funny because we were seated first for the deck building thing. We were sitting next to each other. It was cool, just, you know, sitting, opening packs, and just being like, oh, see this card. And then we were sitting down next to each other. we go to see the pairings. Oh, let's just stay here. And then we had to move like a table, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the prince. It was 1-3 for both of us, but honestly, it was fun.
So do you have a commander of the week, Igor? I actually did ask you that.
Yeah. But do you have a commander of the week?
Well, I'm going to have a commander of the week. It's going to be Scarecrows. Because now I can win on turn 2.
Gee, why would you say that?
So yeah, I don't have a commander of the week. Okay, maybe Ur-Dragon, my mono-red Ur-Dragon.
Maybe you would have Sissei, however.
However, let's get on
to the main topic.
The main topic.
I want to talk about the less important bannings first. Modern.
Bridge from below is banned in Modern.
Do you think that's a correct decision?
Well, it kind of is, because they can't just ban Hogek because they just printed Hogek. And it will be kind of awkward, really, to, you know, it would be them super admitting their mistakes, and they just don't do that.
Plus, you know why they won't ban Hogek or Alter Dementia just yet? Modern Horizons 1 is still, you know, out.
Yeah, I mean...
being sold.
So, okay, so yeah.
Yeah.
But banning Bridge, it's like Bridge is used in that one deck, that Bridgewine deck.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, banning Bridge, it doesn't kill the deck. I mean, it severely cripples it, and it will be probably unplayable with the London Mulligan, since, you know, there will be more oppressive decks than the Hogek deck. And, really, the choices were either Hogek, Bridge, or Altar of Dementia. And Altar of the as you said, Altar of the Dementia and Hogek are still in, you know, being purchased. It's really awkward to buy a pack and you get a bunch of banned cards.
Yeah, not good for sales.
So yeah, Bridge kind of... something was supposed to be done about the deck. It was obvious. Even though the meta was adapting, you know... you know when the meta was adapting as well? Eldrazi Winter.
Yep. Didn't the meta adapt with you having, you know, a bunch of Eldrazi decks and the white-blue Eldrazi deck who was bad against everything else besides Eldrazi?
Oh yeah, it was also a time when the only thing to battle Eldrazi were robots in the form of Affinity. Because the top 8 had 6 Eldrazi and 2 Affinity.
Yep. I remember people were doing a test recently with the whole Bridgewine deck. They were playing that against the banned decks currently in Modern. Hogek decks beat everything 5-0, except one deck, the Eldrazi one. So what I'm saying is, bring back Eldrazi back!
Well, the Eldrazi Winter was an emergency ban, right?
Yes.
There you go. This wasn't even an emergency ban, so it wasn't that bad, but it was kind of, you know, bad.
I just find it funny that, you know, the deck that can kill on turn 2, turn 3 is still being bashed against Eldrazi.
they can just, you know, oh, it's an 8-8 on turn 2. How cute.
Didn't play
turn 2 because I emptied your hand turn 2 with my, you know, turn 2 Totnots.
And you got hit for 8 because of my 2 stupid mimics.
Mimics, yeah. 2 stupid mimics turn 1.
Yeah.
Okay, so enough about the... also, no other format was changed. No other, you know, competitive format.
No other Wizard-sanctioned format.
No other relative format. So, next up.
Yeah, the thing that made us forget about the Modern changes. So, today was the Commander Ban Restricted List update. Usually this is the point where we say, nothing happened. Like, something did happen, Niksha. What happened? Did the salt happen?
Yeah, so they decided to ban Paradox Engine and Iona Shield of Emeria.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, I don't think that anyone knows this, but they unbanned Painter Servant.
I'm gonna go with people at Magic Finance know this.
Yeah, they probably do, since Painter Servant is, like, spiking as hell now.
Also, Grindstone is spiking.
Oh, really? Who would have thought that a Legacy deck would be good in Commander?
Apparently it's gonna be. Maybe. Now the question is, how much are the casual groups gonna adapt Grindstone and Painter Servant?
Grindstone even isn't even the final form. Like, Ugin? Grindstone is just the beginning.
Ugin? There's, you get Ugin, everything?
You can Ugin literally everything on the table, and you and you're left with an Ugin. Like, no, okay, no, fight me.
Yeah, 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 yeah. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Well, the only thing you can do, you should obviously be playing 10 mana cost creatures before an Ugin lands on the battlefield. So yeah, casual groups will be fine.
There
they won't. So Iona was banned just because, you know,
Painter's
Servant is going to be unbanned, because those two can't exist in a casual environment. They can't exist in a competitive environment as well.
Do you want me to read the explanation for the Iona ban? Iona creates a negative experience for many players without the benefit of positive application. We previously considered high mana cost efficient to keep it from getting played, but it was anyway. Also exemplar for a kind of thing we want to discourage.
I mean,
that was the Iona ban.
I mean, okay, sure. Iona would come and disable one player.
We were talking weeks or months ago about the ban list, and I said that, you know, I would be fine with Iona being shafted because that's not good for casual groups, Iona. Just being cheated in.
Yeah.
That's
and
fine.
It's really easy to cheat her in.
That's not the... This, she's not the problem we're having with the ban list.
I still have two problems with the ban list.
Yeah, but I said, Iona was not a thing we actually were bothered with.
Yeah, it's a completely fine ban, I think. Not just because it doesn't affect me, but I could play her, but I chose not to because, A, playing it in casual is just not fun for anyone, and B, it's not worth playing in competitive, like just hardcasting an Iona.
Well, there is just one deck that plays her, and that's Kalia, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I would much more... I would be more hurt by being hit by a Rakdos, the first Rakdos, than an Iona, but okay, never mind that. So, the banning of Paradoxin.
Yeah, that's a thing we actually have problem with. You partly have because, you know, they kind of killed your baby.
They massacred my boy.
Yep, yeah. They massacred your boy, but that's not the biggest problem we actually have. Because your deck aside, and you can actually be logical enough and put your deck aside, why would you ban Paradox Engine? What is even the explanation for the Paradox Engine?
There is no explanation. I scoured Twitter, and I couldn't find a reason why Paradox Engine is banned, and why, I don't know, Doubling Season isn't.
I would like to go to their forums to, you know, check the thing, but their forums are currently under the grip of death. Because everybody wants to go to the forums, because today is the ban day. Like, it literally happened...
No, this is an especially big ban day, because they banned Paradox Engine.
Yeah, and literally happened 2 hours ago from us. You know how I found out about the banning? At the 5 o'clock was the scheduled update, right? 5 o'clock happens, our time. I read the thing, and I'm like, okay, just the document came out.
Yeah, the philosophy document.
I was like, updated, I refreshed the page a couple times. Okay, nothing, I'll just go take a nap because I was super tired. I wake up, and then I see everything blew up. Wait, what? I just took like a half an hour nap. Mind you. What the hell happened?
So, let's go over this ban reasoning from a few perspectives. So let's examine Paradox Engine in casual. So let's say I'm playing Rune, and I'm playing Paradox Engine in my Rune, because I wish to use Rune multiple times per turn. So Paradox Engine is a value machine in that kind of deck. And if you already have a really good engine with Rune and some other creatures, you are already in a winning position, and you're just speeding up the game.
Yeah. The thing that a lot of people didn't actually consider about Paradox Engine is it required you to set up a board state which you actually could win with. Because the only thing most people would see, you know, Paradox Engine would come down, person would play a cantrip, and then things would happen. What you didn't see is person actually preparing A, the mana rocks to do it, B, some outlet to actually win with, and C or D, whatever you want, a card draw or engines to help you actually, you know, go through your deck. It was fair card.
And it's the same situation with, like, Crater Hoof Behemoth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Craterhoof Behemoth is a part of the combo which is called Tooth and Nail. You get your Avenger of Zendikar, you get your Craterhoof Behemoth, you kill everyone, right?
Yeah.
That combo still requires some setup, because you can't attack with everything, you can just attack with, you know, the big frog thing.
Mm-hmm.
You still have to have an imposing enough board that you can just attack and, you know, do lethal to everyone.
Yep, because I've been hit by some creature hoofs that actually survived.
Yeah, because they didn't set up the win.
Yep.
Guess what? There were also times when I would play Paradox Engine and I wouldn't win because I just didn't have the setup.
Most of the times when I played Paradox Engine, I still didn't win.
Because
I think this is the good time to actually quote our friend Andra, his reaction to the bans. Are these people all right? Iona hasn't been relevant for years, and Engine, while fun and a build-around thing to do, is not oppressive. And Painter is legal, apparently, a legacy combo.
Yeah, so we'll get to the Painter a bit later, because, boy, do I have some things to say about that.
I just quoted his response.
Yeah.
It was Scott Visceral.
So, I just... And for competitive, I did look through his Twitter, and like people commenting that it's an oppressive CEDH card.
Apparently, there have actually been a bunch of decks hit by this. Like the Season's Pass deck.
The what?
That's apparently hit. The Season's Pass Tassigur control deck.
Well, actually, doesn't Tassigur just use, I don't know, Dramatic Scepter?
But they were using this as well as another crutch. Arkham Dex got hit.
But Arkham Dex already was fine without Paradox Engine.
From what I'm reading from actual competitive EDH subreddit, apparently more decks than we actually knew were using this. Silvala is gonna be okay-ish, even though the green-white Silvala is hit by this. Because green-white Silvala with Paradox Engine was super fun.
I mean, the green-white Silvala with Paradox Engine could easily backfire because, you know, people are drawing answers at some point, right?
I guess.
I mean, Sisei is basically gone now.
Yeah. I mean, you can still play her, but it's not going to be a competitive level.
I mean, instead of Paradox Engine, I can tutor up Kamal's Druidic Vow.
I guess. I mean, honestly, Niksha, the way you've been playing your Sisei, it has rarely been about the Paradox Engine.
Actually, it was always about the Paradox Engine.
No, but those games you crushed us. You didn't actually get Paradox Engine in play.
Yeah, because I would Elish Norn would do the job.
Yep.
But Elish Norn is like
it's
not even a win condition. It's just that your specific decks were weak to, you know, Elish Norn. But that's not the point. Like without I did put in some alternate win conditions in the deck, but even those alternate win conditions required like some Paradox Engine shenanigans, because mm-hmm. I needed to draw in my Finale of Devastation so I can tutor up an Eldrazi Titan and just overrun everyone. But I still require the Paradox Engine. But okay, let's not make it this about me, because then it will just be me salty because I can't play my deck anymore.
I mean, you are, but let's focus on other things.
Yeah, let's focus on why it's...
It wasn't a problem on casual tables.
I just don't think that a card that requires you to already be winning to give you
not
the...
Not even winning, just having a really good board.
In my mind, it's more of a... It's a win more card.
Mm-hmm. Yes, because it's 5 mana, it doesn't do anything on its own. If you have Dramatic Scepter and like 2 mana lying around, that's super easy mode.
Yeah, but that's a 2 card combo, Igor, come on.
That's insane. And Paradox Engine is like minimally 5 to 10 card combo.
Yeah, but we talked about this a lot, so it's a thing that Paradox Engine is bad while Flash Hulk is okay.
Yes. I think the thing is casual decks rarely get hit by, you know, Hulk. On the other hand, I think that casual decks also get really hit by Paradox Engine.
Yeah, and if you're playing Paradox Engine in a competitive environment, it's completely fine. It's like saying that Storm is bad in Modern because people get hit by Storm. Like, okay, it's a competitive format and you're, you know, everyone's playing good decks. And so what do you expect? You can still, like, crush Storm with, I don't know, 8 whack or something like that. Storm isn't unbeatable. Paradox Engine isn't unbeatable. It's just that the more I face the fact, the more, like, okay am I am with it. But what does the future hold then? They don't want to. They don't really want to ban stuff, but this ban and unban is extremely sketchy to me.
I'm not sure what to think of the decks that I play. How are they going to fare? Because my decks hit some of the spots that, you know, they don't like.
There's a lot of competitive decks that can be easily turned into casual decks. Like removing tutors and things like that. Removing tutors, removing some fast mana.
Honestly, my decks can be done that. Just switch stack pieces for, you know, more casual and convenient.
Yeah, and still, you know, do they even notice that people can randomly just die from Alesha bringing back the
Master
demon. Master of Cruelties. People do randomly die to that, don't they?
Oh, they die all the time to that, yeah.
So, is that oppressive?
Maybe.
Is that winning out of nowhere? Because I'm pretty sure that playing a Paradox Engine isn't winning out of nowhere. You're pretty much telegraphing that you're gonna play a Paradox Engine and that you're gonna win with it.
And I think we're coming back to the last week's podcast, aren't we? Because what is the thing we were talking about in the last segment of the show?
Talk with your friends and see if they're actually your friends, right?
Because Niksha is perfectly fine with me playing things like Blood Moon or whatever the stupid stacks piece I'm playing. What? So is Mate, even though he complains the most when I play those stupid things.
I mean, I'm also completely fine with any of you doing anything they want,
yes,
as long as I'm playing with my CSA. But the moment the moment I take out a casual deck and sit with some casual people and somebody plays something super competitive, like, I have a problem with that.
Unless it's me playing something like Alesha, because if I'm playing against casual decks, I'm most likely gonna get stomped. You've seen that with your dragons, right? Oh, he has like 2/4s. I can't do anything about it.
Well, actually, you couldn't do anything about it because I had Sarkhan that killed everything you could attack with.
Not even if it was just 4/4s. My hand was like stack pieces that don't touch you, because you're just playing huge stuff. I'm like, huh, I can't do anything about this. My only out would have been something like Wrath of God or Damnation. And that would stem the bleeding a little. But, yeah, if you're playing actual competitive EDH deck against casuals, you're an asshole. Go fuck yourself. You're just being a bully, basically.
It's actually being a bully, yeah.
Yeah. And we're not, you know, for that. But when you're sitting with people and actually playing, you know, people at your level, even if you're playing super casual deck, and everybody else is playing super casual, it's super fine. If everybody's playing competitive, it's also fine. If you have 2 people playing competitive and 2 people playing casual, that's a problem.
Unless the, you know, competitive people kill each other, and then the casuals are like, what are they doing? Oh, okay, I'll just play my stuff, and you do whatever you want to do.
What is this weird text on this card called Blood? I don't even have
one. Why would you play Blood Moon? It's like, you just did nothing. I have only basics.
Okay, you played Blood Moon. I will hit you with my 7/7 now.
Pretty much.
And the competitive player is like, well, my face hurts.
Okay, so enough about the Paradox thing. Let's see about this Painter's Servant thing. Because Sheldon said that...
Don't put it like Sheldon said... The rules committee said.
No.
He just...
I'm just going to say what he said.
Uh-huh.
That the people at the rules committee were having... They did have, like, intense arguments about it. But he thinks that the positive parts of unbanning him outweigh the negative parts.
I mean, I'm perfectly fine with that card being unbanned.
But I'm not. Because... I cannot find a single instance where Painter's Servant is fine. I mean, it's fine when you're playing tribal scarecrows and it's a plus one scarecrow for your pile. like, okay, you can have plus one Scarecrow. I can't find a reason to unban that card.
I don't know.
There's so many oppressive combos you can do with Painter Servant. And, like, why?
What did we mention? Grindstone, we mentioned Ugin. What else?
Remember those old cycles of color-specific hate cards?
Oh, yeah, like the Boil, but not for just lands, but actually, you know. This turns Red Elemental Blast into... what's it called? Just give me a second, I need to open a door. Well, this is people trying to peddle me shit. I said no.
Did they try to sell you some Painter Servants?
No. Well, I wish they did. I would get them all. But it turns, what was I going to say, it turns Elemental Blast into Vindicate.
Yeah.
That's an interaction that I actually find fun and interesting, mind you.
But there are, I just can't think on the top of my head, that. But there are some cards, like
The Ugin one is actually what the hell is happening. Hibernation and things like that to make all creatures not on tap.
Also, I can't remember what it's called, but I'm pretty sure that there's a green card that counters black spells.
Lifeline.
So you just counter anything.
Yes.
And green doesn't have a problem with having a lot of mana, so you can counter everything.
Mm-hmm.
So still, I really can't find anything positive.
On one hand, you have to play a bunch of fringe spells to do this. On the other hand, how difficult is it to get an artifact into hand?
It's really not that hard. And it's really not that hard to once you lose it, to get it back.
I mean, I'm not gonna say that the world is falling, because I think the skies are falling, the world is not ending because of this unban. It's a bit of an iffy unban. I'm just like, what the hell?
I mean, it just joins the long list of two-card infinite combos in Commander.
And if you're playing competitive, I'm fine with that.
It's just that, do we need more two-card combos? Just why?
The thing is, Nixxia, they're making unbans for casual.
And it's not good for casual, that's the point. I can't see a reason why Painter's Servant is okay in casual.
What are some good interactions I can't think on the top of my head?
Circle of Protection. You can't be dealt damage anymore.
That requires you to be playing Circle of Protections though in your deck.
We're talking about casual, aren't we? I'm going to play Circle of Protection in my Painter's Servant. Like, no problem. And once I have that too on, you know, in play, you know.
We forgot one interaction though, Nixxia. Una.
I know about Una.
No, but we just forgot to mention it.
It's not that we forgot to mention it. Una just goes infinite with, you know, these two cards that are called Dramatic Reversal and Isochron Scepter.
But she goes infinite with the Servant now.
She doesn't go infinite with Servant.
I mean, you kill. Like, you need to pay two mana to kill an opponent.
No, she mills the top X.
Doesn't she exile?
Yeah, she exile, but just the top X. You don't go infinite, actually. You just go infinite with Grindstone.
I'm stupid. Then you still need... I mean, then she doesn't touch Una. I'm sorry, I misremembered.
It's really good for casual Unas that don't go infinite, because now you get X fairies, you don't get between 0 and X fairies.
Okay, this is not bad then, for this deck.
I would argue that it's kind of bad, yeah.
No, I mean, this is the most broken thing you could be doing with your Painter Servant. This is a cool interaction for the deck. I'm okay with this. But when you do stuff like Ugin, and when it's me telling you, you shouldn't be wiping upon everybody's lands just like that, you know it's a bit, you know, iffy.
Like, just wiping everyone's everything and you having an Ugin out, that's not okay.
Nixxia, even if you just do like a minus X, minus X, it's for 0, and wiping just the lands, you're still in a good position.
So yeah, these were some...
These were unbannings.
These were some highly questionable decisions.
So, to reiterate, Iona, fine. Perfectly fine. To be banned. She wasn't being played that much, but decks that are playing her could screw up a casual player. That's okay. Paradox Engine, I don't see a reason to, while you have things like Flash running around.
Paradox Engine paid for Urza's sins.
Mm-hmm.
And Painter's Servant really can't see a reason why it's unbanned. Unless Paradox Engine has some broken interaction with an upcoming commander, and Painter Servant has a, quote, cool, end quote, interaction with a upcoming commander.
If that happens, I'm gonna be like, you know what, okay.
I mean, that's let's be real, that's not okay.
That's not okay, but I can see why you did it, but maybe you could have done it after, you know, the commander came out, because we do have a BNR update at August 25th.
25th or 28th?
I think it's 25th.
Whatever, August.
Yeah, that's an official Wizards one, not the commander one.
So, I mean, that was really all I had to say about these bans. I mean, okay, I just won't be playing Sisse anymore, I'll just... destroy all lands because that's okay?
I mean, destroying all lands is always okay if you ask me, but adhere to the rules, Niksha. Just do it with the
playing. You know, I might just look into finding a way. Like, when KCI was banned, mm-hmm. then KCI players found a combo that could also kill in a turn, but instead of it lasting 5 minutes, like with KCI, it lasted for like 50 minutes. So, what I would like to do is still play Sisse and find some kind of very long, non-shortcuttable way to combo kill. And, like, I wouldn't be doing that just because I can. I wouldn't be doing it because I like to do that. I just don't like doing that. It would be about... it would be, like, sending a message, even though my message will never be heard, like, anywhere. Like, just to find something non-interactable, non... shortcuttable, so people can't just... I mean, people can still scoop in response. But, like, I can't say, okay, I'll just shortcut to killing you. Because I can't. I have to do the combo, like, for half an hour. Because that's what Paradox Engine did. It shortened the kill from mm-hmm. half an hour to half a minute. Because you just say, okay, I have Paradox Engine. This is the combo. Do you have interaction?
And that's the important thing, I think. Interaction still stopped the Paradox Engine.
It did. Like, getting rid of one combo piece I had stopped the combo kill. I mean, I still could produce a lot of mana and play legendary creatures, but they're just legendary creatures.
Mm-hmm.
They're not gonna win by themselves. And then somebody plays Wrath of Gonna, like, okay, sadness.
Sadness resolved. Do you want to talk about the words. Do you want to talk a bit about the philosophy of Commander, the document?
I mean...
I would just like to say what thing they find, you know, as sinful for the cards they could ban. So, they have to cause severe resource imbalances, allow players to win out of nowhere, prevent players from contributing to the game in a meaningful way, cause other players to feel they must play certain cards even though they are also problematic, are very difficult for other players to interact with, especially if doing so requires dedicated narrow responses when deck building, interact poorly with the multiplayer nature of the format or the specific rules of Commander, and leads to repetitive gameplay. Just give me a second, I need to open the door again, hopefully it's not a seller.
And yet, Flash Hulk is still okay.
Yo, I will have the door ring in like a minute again, but let's keep on talking.
Yeah, I just said that, but even though those are the... like, guidelines, Flash Hulk is still a thing.
Yeah. However, the reason I said that I'm worried about... cards that cause severe resource imbalances. Sounds like a thing I'm playing, right? Prevents players from contributing to the game in a meaningful way. Also sounds like cards I would play. But thing I actually like the most. Are very difficult for other players to interact with, especially if doing so requires dedicated narrow responses when deck building. You mean interaction? You need to... actually prepare for your meta? Is that what I'm hearing? You need to play answers to things people are playing?
No, it's like playing spot removal isn't fun, I
oh
guess.
My god. The door. Give me a second. I'm back.
Back again.
So we were saying interaction is bad.
But we've been talking about interactions for like the past 3 episodes.
Because they're actually important and not that difficult to play.
I mean, I understand. That playing spot removal instead of cool cards is kind of, you know, boring.
Not fun, but you know what's more fun? Not dying.
But even people that play fair will play a giant Hydra at some point, mm-hmm. and then you'll be like, that card is too strong.
Honestly,
you're dying
me...
to it all the time, and you're like, that card is too strong. Can you not play it? Like, just killed with.
Can you send it to the graveyard? Why, bro? Because I have this card. Oh no, it's murder.
Like every color has removal. Even blue has removal that's not counterspell.
Yes, and they have it for a reason. Embrace the removal. Honestly, playing niche cards to actually deal with your opponents is not bad. Me playing something like Widow Wretch to answer the frog or the Muldrota is actually fine. Me playing the Containment Priest, the card that blocks my deck to fight Kalia, is not bad. But what do I know? I've just been playing this year for like this game for like 9 years or more.
No, you don't know squat.
I do not know.
I mean, you don't even know what competitive the decks are hit by banning Paradox.
I mean, that is true. I actually don't know all of them. I'm not keeping up with that part. But the saddest thing I've read is I have to take the Paradox engine out of my Feather deck. I was like, aww. But Boros needs all the help it can get.
Oh yeah, my Featherstorm is like ruined. Okay.
Aww, and I'm actually sad because of that.
Wow, I just, you know, like, I don't have any ways to tutor the damn thing, but still, with all the card draw I can have in my deck, it's like,
honestly, if you're gonna go infinite in Boros, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Yeah, especially with Feather. She kinda deserved it.
Sheesh. Apparently not so redeemed right now, are we?
Banning a card in her? Shameful display.
Shameful display. We wanna hear a sad story from Reddit? I'm so happy I just traded a Prismatic Vista and a Fire Islet away for a Paradox Engine. Oof. Oof. Okay, you might have not been hit so hard by the banning. Apparently this guy was hit way harder than you.
Yeah, originally I was just getting Paradox Engines for Modern. It was like at the time when they were like 4 euros.
Yeah, I also got them at that time.
So yeah, I wasn't really that hit that hard. And even, I mean, I did try to sell some of my Paradox Engines because I was, in the back of my head, I was still anticipating a ban because I know, because I'm well aware of what they're capable of banning. And I was like, people just didn't want to buy it. I didn't really actually lose anything because nobody wanted to buy them anyway. Still didn't lose anything. I can still play my 4 off in... Oh, that's a win for me because now I don't have to constantly switch Paradox Engine to Modern and back. And neither do I have to switch Talia to Modern and Commander and back.
Hooray! See, the RC was just thing.
Okay, because I'm just not gonna play Commander. I'm just gonna go play Modern now.
Aw, come on, Nixia.
Because in Modern, I at least know that they're going to ban some shit, like every now and then.
Come on, Nixia, play some Commander with us.
I'll be playing Commander, but I'll be steering clear of the competitive one for now.
Aw, come on, Nixia.
I mean, I don't have a competitive deck now.
Honestly, play your stupid dragons. Odds are Robbie and me are gonna stack the whole table and you'll get to play your stupid dragons anyway.
Well, at that point I might, but no, Robbie is biting me.
Why?
He because it's fun.
He gets a kick out of it.
Yeah.
But that's okay because the playgroup is fine with it. See, people?
I mean, I'm not okay with it, but...
you're actually being a good sport about it.
Yeah, see?
He says horrible things about your mother, you tell him to go to many places, and you know, that's how it goes. I'm not happy with the banner update list.
The last sentence of the philosophy of Commander. The format can be broken. We believe games are more fun if you don't. So how about this? Don't unban cards that have, like, extreme broken potential.
It's just an idea. If they said following... Iona is banned. Paradox Engine is banned. Would you be okay? Would you be less mad about that one?
No unbanning. About that part, no. But I at least wouldn't have the part to be the part where a broken card is unbanned.
But yeah, that's what I mean. Would you be actually more okay with that one?
I don't think so.
What unban would actually improve your?
Like no one. Like unban everything. Don't ban anything. Let your playgroups decide.
There we go. The rule zero thing, right?
Yes.
But then, why do we have a ban list? Well, because you still have to have tournaments and things like that, right? But if you have tournaments and things like that, don't you need to focus a bit more competitively?
I mean,
like you said it yourself, they're contradicting themselves on every step.
At this point, it's kind of like, they should make two ban lists. Like, a tournament ban list and a casual ban list. And then people can, like, decide when they sit down together and, like, are we doing tournament rules or are we doing casual rules? And, like, we're doing casual rules. And that's it.
Gotta say, Nixia, by how much we're opposing, you know, people on power, I see a reason why we're not getting any spoilers ever. Makes sense!
We're not getting any spoilers because nobody knows about it.
Womp, womp, womp.
But I don't know. All of that will change once our game launches, I hope.
You know what's funny about the whole thing? Bunch of people on Twitter are tagging me alongside, you know, Lab Maniacs and Into the Nord podcast, the Spike Feeders, when it comes to competitive EDH questions. I'm like, what the hell? Why am I put with these people?
I don't think we're the best people to talk about that. Oh yeah, talking about the best people to be talking about that, we did have in plan to do a little Scott Pilgrim deck tech today. But,
did we?
I mean, I did.
Okay, there we go.
I don't know about you, but I plan to be talking in length about my ideas for building Scott Pilgrim.
I mean, since Tess and I do plan to build that deck, you know, soon-ish, we'll loan you the guy because you need him, but, you know, a bit later we'll do the deck.
I mean, spoiler alert, it's gonna be Tron.
You mean you said that when you were doing the bloody card?
And then, once I go into Pauper with Tron, then I'll be playing Tron in... Oh, that's right. Wizards are too scared to print Tron in Standard. Damn it, Wizards, I need Tron in Standard. So I can play it in literally every format that exists. Man.
Have we had enough with the Salt Cast for this week?
Yeah. I mean, this, what I've been talking now, is like nothing compared to when I heard the news. It was like nothing.
Yeah, the pre-show you were much more angry.
Oh, and I was even more angry at work when I saw the news.
I figured. But yeah, any parting words?
But yeah, as any reasonable human being, I rationalize my thoughts and I'm completely cool with everything.
I mean, we're still gonna keep on playing the Magic Regional play. We'll adapt to the ban list. We're not happy with it, but, you know.
But we're definitely not gonna go on any crazy witch hunts or anything.
I mean, no reason to.
I mean, whatever the RC decides, I mean, in the end, I will respect their decision. It's like, I'll just disagree with the decision, but I'll respect it.
Oh yeah, we'll disagree and bitch about it on our podcast, but that's about it.
Like, Commander is still the second best format in the game, so... Well... Possibly the best formatting the game. I'll see what happens with the London Mulligan.
I still like it the best out of all formats.
Isn't, like, Vintage more of your thing?
I know I'm never going to be able to play Vintage. And I generally like EDH more. I just really like watching Vintage being played.
Oh, so you just like watching Magic being played.
Yeah. It's basically what sports people are like. I mean, I like watching UFC and things like that. I'm not going to go into Cajun fight. I still like watching it. Same with Vintage. I respect the game, and it's one of the craziest matches you'll ever see. But I'm still not going to, you know, actually go invest in it. But yeah, that has been it for this week, right?
This has been episode 50.
Almost. Just put 40 more to it. You said 57.
Oh, 97.
There you go, Nixia.
Yay, math.
Of the Elder Dragon Turtle podcast, and as always, the Emperor protects.
But not against battles.
The blood of my brothers has been swallowed by the ground. Unbelievable, insatiable thirst, the lines break. Tide swirls and rushes forth, my arms shake. I am swallowed by the storm surge. But I will turn from this, we will emerge from this. Ignore the creeping dread that slithers up our spines from this. Yet I'm the final dirge. Hear me! I command a standard, so will standard face a chaos scourge. I count the days as to come, turn to a month now. Still with perseverance we raise the body count. Besides the pangs of pain, know that I know your face. You'll know mine when every death is repaid. Burning past, gift sanctioned by your chaplains. Line up every sight while I align the battlements. 10,000 lights burn out in a blink. With a stalwart step prepared to hold before this brink of the precipice. One light to wind with disaster. Crying a funeral song. One reason that you hold on. Show me the war, master. And those those I thought were my brothers have turned their backs on the fold. The Edmund's act I now hold. We hid ourselves in the dark. Foundation shook. Step out of the sunlight to re-emerge. Luna wolves. Now we wait on our haunches. Coiled. Soon I will find my vengeance. Gets a despoiled. I can't forget the sight of them becoming poison. Suffering immaterial death. Fate unavoidable. Knife meets back. Those brothers meet bloodshed. Return to give the devil tap into the serpent's head. Backstabber turncoat. Chain of command failures. Miniature lower swords as it ducks through your defenses. Tide turns again and not in our favor. My forces face the death, but not once do they wait. And as the palace is breached, I'll take what I can reach. Aim for Abaddon's throat. Your life is beyond reproach. By the despicable hands, our hope is scattered like sand. And every outcome I wanted sits above me unhaunted. Should have kept deeper still, burning my grave to fill. Soon I will have all your heads. You should have checked I was dead. And I can still see their faces. Their trusting look led astray. Only blood can amend this.